Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, an artist, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice who will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my girl today? You said you had a little hard week, so
yeah,
how are you hanging in there?
Yeah, it's been a little bit tough. It's okay. You know, I mean, listen, I explained to Lisa, like I was going to kind of explaining to you prior to the show starting, you know, my wife has been given an incredible opportunity to get in on the ground level of something, you know, and it's an opportunity for her to change careers, you know, and kind of go back to her roots a little bit, but to actually take where she was before with the kickboxing industry and everything else and take it to a completely new level, you know. So it's very, very exciting that she's been, you know, blessed with this opportunity. And, you know, it was funny because when she went to work the other day, or actually she didn't even go to work, she went to go take a class, you know, because in addition to teaching this stuff, she actually does thoroughly enjoy it. So she went in on her day off to take a class, and she ran into, you know, one of the owners and two guys, and they absolutely fell in love with her. And I can't say that I blame them because she's my wife and I fell in love with her. So, you know, they absolutely fell in love with her, unknowing of who exactly they were. And it wound up being the two people that are in charge of this incredible opportunity, you know. So from the optics of it, it looks wonderful. But unfortunately, because of the writer's strike, because of our lack of work, because of how much money we went through in our savings over the course of the 8 months that we were out of work, because I'm still not operating as a cardholder, I'm still operating as a permit, the lack of consistency in my work, her taking a $40,000 pay cut does not seem optimal right now. So it's really kind of throwing some shade on the opportunity. So we're really just trying to, you know, and my side business that I would like to replace my income by December, it's happening a lot slower than I thought it was going to happen initially. So, you know, with all these things in flux, both of us are fluxing at the same time. And the rule has always been one of us fluxes at a time. But now it's both of us simultaneously. You know, but we just have to, like, you know, we discussed it, and we're obviously, you know, she can't say no to this opportunity. You know, we're just going to have to find a way to make it work, you know, and put our backs against the wall and really just kind of push forward. And we have to realize that our issues right now are short-term issues, but this is an incredible opportunity for very long-term success. So, you know, the way that I explained it to Lisa when she was kind of flipping out was that, you know what, if somebody says, okay, listen, in December, we're going to give you $1 million, but until December, you're going to have to kind of live bare bones. You're going to have to work really, really fucking hard, and it's going to be tough. You know, you're not going to say no to the million just because you don't want it to be tough today. You know, you want to say yes to the million knowing that that's the light and the reward at the end of the tunnel. So we're just trying to figure some things out, but it's still stressful, you know, and we're just trying to, you know, try to make it all happen simultaneously. So, you know, it's a little bit more pressure on me, a little bit more pressure on her, and we're just trying to figure it out.
Oh, it's funny because I saw that when, you know, she, you know, called in and wanted, I spoke to her about this. And what I saw was the problem was going to be the money a little bit, you know, that they weren't going to want to meet what she makes now because, you know, remember, they have a new business, and not that they're cheaper necessarily. It's just that they're a little worried too at this point. So what they can give her. So I had a funny feeling it was going to be the money issue. that might not make it work, mm-hmm. although in the future it looks like a great opportunity. So, you know, we're always kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so what are you thinking she's going to do, not take it at this point?
No, I think that I'm going to push her to take it because, like I said, you know, it's an incredible opportunity in the long term. And, things will be hard to start, but they're not always going to be hard. And, you know, this will be a little bit more motivation for me to get my situation together. And, you know, unfortunately, at the same time, I may have to switch in industries as well. You know, I mean, this industry is just not, you know, being in entertainment is not just, you know, it's not what it's all cracked up to be right now. You know, I mean, and now rumor has it that the Teamsters may strike. So I got bad news for everybody listening. It looks like your shows may not come back as scheduled because now you may not have trucks that are going to drive everything around to and from sets and things like that. So there may be another strike that affects us, you know, and we'll know that probably within the next 30 to 45 days or so. But there may be another strike, you know, that will put everybody out of work yet again. You know, so at this point, I think the smart move is just for me to concentrate on getting my business up and running while simultaneously finding something where I'm working enough to bridge the gap between what we're losing in Lisa's income until her income picks up. Because, you know, they're offering her an incredible deal and they're offering her profit sharing and things like that. And I have no doubt that my wife will get these locations where they need to be to where she could potentially be making just to do nothing, you know, anywhere between $1,000 and $3,000 a location, you know, and that's right. A reasonable goal. It could be more, you know, and that's monthly. That's not annually. That's monthly. So,
right,
you know,
exactly.
I have no doubt in my wife's skills. I think that she can do it. It's going to be tough immediately, but it'll be very, very good down the road. And how do I tell her, hey, listen, it's a fabulous opportunity for you to grow and do something that you want to do just because it's going to be hard for a little while in the beginning.
Right. And that's what I saw. I saw they weren't going to be able to meet what she's making. Okay.
Yeah.
But the opportunity,
you know what I mean?
Looks great.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but we're going to figure it out, you know. And, you know, once I get my business up and running and once I start getting a little bit of income from there, that's a little bit more breathing room, you know, I could find, you know, a job in the interim. I obviously still work for the union for whatever days they want to give me. But, in the meantime, you know, I just can't sit on my butt and wait for them to call me. I'm going to have to go out and do other things, and that's fine. You know, if it supports my wife and it gets her where she needs to be, you know, we take turns. We volley back and forth with these things. And now it's my turn for, you know, to bear the cross a little bit. So, you know, like I said, it's stressful, but it'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, we'll just, you know, pray that you get a little break yourself because I think that would help for you.
I think so, but, you know, we'll figure it out. You know, I mean, like I said, it's tough short term, and what I keep trying to drill with Lisa is that nothing is you know, it's going to be hard short term, you know, that's just what it is, you know, but it's an awesome opportunity, you know, it really, really, truly is an awesome opportunity, you know, and it could potentially even be a retirement plan for her, you know, so yeah, it'll be a tough, you know, 3-6 months, but you know, this is the rest of your life. Is 6 months really a long period of time, you know, when you're considering, you know.
It wouldn't have been if you didn't have the hit from the strike. You know what I mean? That's what.
Pretty much. That's exactly what I said. I said to her earlier that I wouldn't even flinch if we still had, you know, what we had in the bank as far as our cushion. You know, I wouldn't even flinch. I'd be like, yeah, just go for it. We got cushion. But, you know, we don't have that cushion right now, and we haven't had the chance to recuperate that cushion, so it's a big risk, you know. But like I said, you know, it's you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year, it's a very short period of time when you're considering, you know, the next 20, 30 years.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's, you know, good. I mean, it's exactly what I saw when, you know, she conned me. I said, it's a great opportunity. You're just not going to make what you make for a while, you know, and yet,
yep.
You know, what's the bigger picture here? And your job, you know, you would think would be secure, but it really hasn't been. And
honestly, it really hasn't been. And now with this, with a second strike, possibly looming in the background. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it sucks. And this is why, and what's really, really screwed up about it is that with all of the striking, this is exactly what the strikes were trying to prevent, you know, because now productions are going to go, oh, well, you see, when you're working with people, this is what happens, and now we get shut down. If you're working with computers and AI imaging and CGI and all those things, now we don't need all these people, you know? And so we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot for everything that they fought for the last, you know, 8 months. You know, and actually before that, they only struck for 8 months, but they had been fighting for it for a year prior. So you're literally flushing the last 2 years of fighting, you know, just for what now? Exactly, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. So, you know, again, this is kind of, you know, the way things can be. So, you know, no panicking about it. We're just going to relax and let it all, you know, really come to manifest for your wife. That's the most important
thing. Yeah, I mean, and she was also worried about, like, the constraints on her time because, you know, I mean, listen, my wife, when she was running the former kickboxing studios, when she was GMing five locations, she had very little time to herself. And the union and with her change of schedule this year, it really afforded her, you know, a lot more time and less responsibility, and it was a lot less stressful. And now she feels like, you know, she's going into a more stressful situation, which, yeah, I completely understand because she is, but she's kind of worried about her time factor as well. But again, it comes down to, at least for me and what I'm trying to guide her with, is that, you know what, I get it, you know, and it may very well feel like it did in the past, but it's not what it was in the past, because what it was in the past, that was life. That was, if you stay in this position, this is going to be your life. With this position, and they're assuring her and the people that have been guiding her that she's currently working for now have all said that the amount of grunt work that she'll have to put in is very short term. You know, you're literally talking about the grunt work to get these things off the ground, and then you're in a managerial position where you're overseeing everything else, where, you know, it is a lot less time consuming, but you have to earn that. You have to get there. So she's kind of worried about her time as well, but, you know, again, it's short period versus long period and what's best for the long term. You can't be afraid of the short term, you know, strife when you're considering, you know, the fruits of the long term investment.
Right, exactly. So, you know, all in all, it looks good. So that's important. You know, just
okay.
So our listeners, it looks good for her. Can you see, we have a lot of callers, so I'm going to try to get to some of them today. There's like a million today.
Absolutely.
We're going to start with the 914 because I think I know who that is. And then we're going to get Andrew today, okay? Because Andrew's got a lot on his plate right now, too.
Okay.
So we might want to see what's going on with him. And,
wonderful.
You know, let's see if we can't
get
the 914.
Let's go to the 914. They've been waiting the longest, okay? And before we get into that caller, just for everybody tonight, if you would like to speak to Cindy or myself, please make sure that you press the number 1 so that we know to pick you up and screen your call. Whenever I do not know the person that is on the other end of the phone, I will always identify you, be it on the show or in the chat room, by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So please, if you did press the number 1, listen out for your last 4 digits so that you know I am talking to you when it is your turn to either get screened or get set up on the air with Cindy. So here we go out to the 914 number. The last 4 digits, because we do have a couple of 914s here, last 4 digits of your phone number are 1241, and then we will hop into Andrew after we deal with 1241. So here we go, and let's see who's waiting for us. Hello, 1241.
Hi.
Who are we talking to?
This is Donna.
I knew it was Donna. That's why I said we're going to pick up Donna, because your husband in heaven was like, you better pick up Donna. I was like, okay, then.
You know, I actually get a thrill calling you because I feel like he's telepathically making me call you to hear his messages. So
it's funny because he was saying, pick her up now. So are we back bowling and everything? Everything's good?
No. I just got out of the cast. The surgery went well.
Good.
Not as tense as we. I'm just beginning physical therapy. looks like it's going to be about another, I don't know, 8 or 9 months before I'm fully operational. But, yeah, I'm okay. I'm happy. I'm happy with the outcome. I'm very impatient with the recovery, but that's me.
Right. And he just said you're going to do well. You know, you know, he seems to be very relaxed about that. Okay. But he's anxious for the bowling days to start to happen. Okay. And have you been watching any hockey? Were you watching the hockeys? Because for some reason he was talking about the Rangers earlier today. And I'm like, and I don't know anything about hockey, so don't ask me. So he was saying, ask her about the Rangers, because I knew you were going to call in today. So have you
been
watching your
hockey?
They're
doing fantastic.
Well, are they? I don't know anything. Are they doing fantastic?
They are.
As of our last game, we are currently number one in the league. Igor Shesterkin has got the best save percentage that he's had in the last 3 months. And right now we are approaching the trade deadline, so hopefully with Shesterkin back, we will be able to keep our guys as they currently are or pick up a nice center.
There you go.
Wow. Well, it's funny because, you know, I don't, you know, for people who, you know, I don't know anything about sports, but I always pick the winning team. I always pick the winning team. Like I drove TJ crazy saying this year is going to be, you know, it'll look very close, and it's a last minute. I knew who was going to win. It'd be the last minute. So I don't know anything about sports. So when he started talking about Rangers, said, I don't know anything about sports. Are they doing good or are they doing bad? He started laughing. He goes, just mention it on the show and they'll tell you.
Well,
so
the story about the Rangers is I'm a passive Ranger watcher. I don't sit here and watch the Rangers. I've always been a Rangers fan because of my husband, but, you know, I just kind of follow him. I'm more of a Yankee fan. But last night, I live with my son, my daughter-in-law, my grandson, and last night they surprised my grandson with tickets to the Ranger game, and it was his very first Rangers game, and, of course, he was over the moon about it. And it was a exciting night for him because he didn't know he was going until they were on their way in the car. Very excited. It was sweet to see
that your husband knew this and it was his idea to get these tickets, and that's why he was saying he was at the Rangers game. So I didn't really know what he's talking, because remember, I don't even know if the Rangers are still playing now. That's how much I don't know, okay? So
well, they played last
saying, I went to the Rangers game yesterday, so I said, wait, I don't even know if the Rangers were playing or whatever they were doing with the Rangers. So there you have it, that he did not miss this. He was there.
I'm glad to know that he accompanied them at the game. That's sweet. I'm thrilled with that.
Oh, yeah. That was his best down-on-earth time, he said, in a long time.
I have to just share with you, you know, I have some apprehension about going under general anesthesia and the procedure and what they were going to do, et cetera, et cetera. And before they put me under, I had a picture of him on my screensaver from my phone, and before they went to wheel me out, I said, no, before, the last thing I want to do is, just as you're giving me the versed, I just got to look into his face for inner strength, and I turned the camera on, and I looked at his face, and she went, okay, nighty-night, and away I went. When I woke up, they said to me, boy, you were having a whole conversation with him during his surgery.
Wow. You see, you astral traveled to him.
I must have. I don't remember any of it, except that the anesthesiologist told me that they were worried that I was coming out of anesthesia because I was doing so much talking with him.
Wow. You know, yeah. And, you know, that's funny because he kept you occupied and busy. And, like, an astral travel is almost, you know, when you actually travel like that so much, you know, sometimes you can remember it. You couldn't because you were under anesthesia, but he kept you company the whole time, okay?
Oh, I felt nothing but comfort. It was like I woke up, I was fine, I was ready to get out of there, no ill effects, nothing.
Well, can you see? He was there. And, you know, he wanted you to know that, you know, to confirm some of these things, because you just need confirmation that he's around, that he doesn't miss things, that he's down on earth. I mean, really, you know, I don't know anything about the Rangers whatsoever. So when someone says anything to me, I'm like,
mention that to you. I can't forget. Bizarre. Just bizarre.
Right. And know that he wanted you to call in today so he could confirm that he was there yesterday. And it was actually
That's
his idea.
So
he's
cool.
the one that ghosted your son's mind to even get the tickets. So
a lot of this
is coming from him.
That was kind of a unique thing, too, because Paul is a Marine Corps veteran, and he was offered those tickets through VetTix, and he doesn't normally get tickets to things like that. And up came this opportunity. It just appeared, and he was like, yeah, okay, we could do that. But it was just kind of crazy.
Right, and just know that he's about, and,
yeah.
you know, he gets a kick out of being on the radio. He laughs a lot, you know, he just, from the other side. And, you know, I think your husband always wants to comfort my listeners. What he's trying to show them is if you have to get surgery, if you have to do something,
yeah.
bring your dead loved ones along with you. They're definitely mm-hmm. there. They're definitely there to talk to you, hold your hand, and to make sure things go well.
Yeah.
So
that's
sort of his message to everyone. Don't forget to ask your people on the other side for help.
My sister came post-op to my house 2 days later to visit me, to check on me, to bring me something to eat, because I was kind of sedentary for about 3 weeks. So when she left to go back home, she stopped at a store to pick something up, and she got injured in this store. And when she called me, I told her to please go for an X-ray because she got hit in the head. And I told her, please just go, just do me a favor, just humor me, go get checked. So she was very hesitant, and the emergency room told her they wanted to do an MRI or a CAT scan or whatever it was. And this was 2 days after my surgery. So she hemmed and hawed and poo-pooed the whole thing, sends me a picture of the examining room where they made her change into the gown. And, of course, on the floor was a dime from And she said, look at that. This son of a bitch is even watching over me, too.
Of course. And the dime is the universal symbol letting us know they're a phone call away, they're a call away. They're always there. So, and you know, it's funny to find a dime in that room is pretty hard because most people don't even carry change money anymore. Coins are getting harder to find.
When he sent that to me, the two of us just laughed out loud. I was like, look at that. He won't even leave you alone for 5 minutes.
So, you know, he's glad that you called in. Really what he wanted to confirm was the whole Rangers thing. Okay. And that he was thrilled to death to be able to go to the game. I mean, they could come down on Earth if they wanted to and go to a Ranger game by themselves, but it's no fun. They want to go with the family members. Like during COVID, talking to the dead was pretty brutal because they were so bored because, remember, we were going mm-hmm. nowhere. And I said to them, mm-hmm. you're dead. You can go anywhere you want to. They go, it's not fun if we don't go with the people we love. Could you imagine that?
I think what was so special was that this was Jack's first game. So it was because Bill used to coach hockey, and he was the coach of the Rangers, of all things, not the professional Rangers, but his team was known as the Rangers. And I just thought it was ironic that you mentioned the Ranger game and last night, because that's where Jack went with his mom and dad.
Wow. Well, that's why you had a call in today. Okay.
There you go.
That's why he goes to your mind and says, and that's why he also told me, pick her up, you know, make sure you pick her up. So there you go, between him and his guidance. And what I really love about your husband so much is he wants to prove that death ends a life, not a relationship, to everyone. He wants everyone to learn this. So he's like probably one of the, like, he's a really clear voice to talk to. You don't need me because the man is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said, the doctors didn't tell you some of your conversation was rather racy with your husband.
No, they kept it sort of PG, but they said, boy, you were having some conversation. I was like,
that's what I'm trying to tell you, darling. Okay. And he kept laughing, telling you, shh, you know what? Be a little quiet about it. That's why they got quite the kick out of the whole conversation, by the way, just so you know. And, you know, always call in again and let us know how your recovery is going. And he's, you know, it's funny when he said, are we bowling yet? He's trying to tell you, you're going to get better.
But I've had to, I was supposed to be right now, as a matter of fact, I was supposed to be in Spain and Portugal, but I had to put that on the back burner. And I'm not going to be going until January and February next year. And I'm going to England, Scotland, and Ireland in August. And I said, well, I got to make sure I join a league somewhere in between there because Billy is telling me I got a bowl. So I'll see.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. And just know that he said you'll be back before you know it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, thank you for calling in because, great to hear from you. My listeners love you, by the way. I got a lot of nice emails and messages. And your husband thinks he's a celebrity now. You know what I mean?
I think your listeners would rather hear what he has to say. But
they get a kick out of him. I get a kick out of him, though. Could you imagine? He just cracks me up. And he said, I can't believe that he said to me that you had three brothers and you know nothing about sports and you were on kick line. You saw the football game. I said, I never watched any of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was like, no, I'd go out and play with my Barbie dolls while they were watching this stuff, you know?
I wasn't interested.
I do know about it. I do know enough about it, but I just never had an interest in it. So, you know, he just got a kick out of that. But anyway, call in again. We're going to try to get Andrew tonight because Andrew needs a little help too here.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, Nicole, for chirping in on that one because really, you know, like people cannot believe that I always know who's going to win the Super Bowl, by the way.
I'm going to stop you right there, Cindy. Because I'm going to give our listeners a little bit of validation. What Cindy just said to me, now, usually what she says to me whenever I contribute to a call is, you know, thank you for stepping in. Thank you for chiming in. This time she did not say either of those words. This time she said thank you for chirping in. And for those who don't know, chirping is a hockey term.
For when
two players banter back and forth. So
no,
if anybody ever has any doubt about Cindy and her abilities, that was literally just validation because when two players chirp at one another, it usually means that they're bantering back and forth, they're yelling at one another, they're making fun of one another, they're calling each other out, and that is a hockey term that only people that really truly know the game know what a chirp is. So,
and you know, I'm laughing
Cindy never
because
uses that
when I
term
said the word
me.
Chirping, when I said the word chirping, I said, I didn't mean that word. Why did I say chirping? And I'm embarrassed. Like I said, I used the word that probably doesn't exist. What the hell's the matter with me? Why did I say chirping?
Yep.
And then thank you for telling me that because I was still obviously channeling her husband because they put words in my mouth. But all of a sudden I said, people are going to think I'm an idiot. She said, chirping? What the hell's chirping?
Thank you for
chirping. You know what I mean? Like,
that is a hockey term. Yep, and before the show tonight, I was actually on the phone with my mother, and we were discussing hockey. We were discussing the New York Rangers. That's one thing that she and I, literally, we watch the games when we're not together. We watch the games separately, and then we call each other in between periods, and we discuss the period and things like that, or when I can't watch a game, she fills me in and vice versa. So, so we were just talking about the New York Rangers, so it was kind of funny. He was a Ranger fan, and I had just read a new article about the Rangers before the show. And I was not only on the show to give him his Ranger news, but total validation there. That chirping is a hockey term for those.
Oh, thank you, because you know me as a writer. Sometimes when when you're doing the radio show, and I said, why did I make up that word? Why did I say that word? And I was like, that's not a right word. That's not correct. You know, in my head, and I was gonna like say, oh, I hope nobody noticed I said some word that doesn't really exist, you know. But thank you when I said it, I said, why did I say that word?
You know? Yep.
Well, that's why I had to
jump in there and say that because, you know, normally, you know, people don't understand what that is. And,
the words I usually say. I don't say chirping. You said the words that I do say usually. You know?
Yep.
In all these years we've been doing the radio show, I've never chirped before. You know, so.
You've never chirped ever. You know, you always say, "Oh, thank you for jumping in. Thank you for chiming in." You've said, you know, thank you for giving me your opinion. You've said all of the above. You have never ever used the word chirp, and like I said, that is a hockey slang term there. You know, it's for trash talking, so it's great.
Well, good. Well, thank you for telling me that. Now let's see what Andrew.
You're very welcome.
Fill it a little bit because Andrew's got a lot on his plate, and it's not different than a lot of people might be going through. So that's why I want to put Andrew on tonight.
All right, here we go out to Andrew. I will be jumping in the chat room to get our next caller because I did not for the first one, but yes, let's go see what Andrew has to say, and then I will chime in.
Tony, we would put Debbie Tony through.
All right.
So let's do Debbie Tony next.
So you know what? Then I'll wait for Debbie Tony before I pull anybody else into the chat room, just in case we don't have time, because we only have about 30 minutes left. So here we go out to Andrew. Hello, Andrew. You are on the air.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Okay, Andrew. So why don't you fill in briefly, you know, and
I did pick up on the
You picked up on the chirping, too? Because I was like, oh, shit, what did I say chirping?
She never used that word. I didn't know it was a hockey term, but I knew, like, those weren't your usual clothes phrases to Nicole.
Well, that makes me feel better.
The Rangers are good this year, so let's go Rangers. So, all right.
Okay. Well, good, because, you know, people laugh because they really don't, you know, follow sports at all. I mean, at all. So, I hear a little bit from TJ or whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm not the one that would know. I don't even know if it's still the hockey season. That's how much I don't know, okay? So that's why I was wondering. I hope it's still hockey season. This guy's talking about the Rangers, you know? So anyway, Andrew, tell us a little bit what's going on in Andrew's world.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody. I mean, honestly, like, life in general is pretty good. Like, I'm working on – business isn't in the right direction, everything like that. My only issue is, I guess, with family. And I guess, you know, Andrew's learning his own lesson, you know, about, you know, just because the way I would do things and being good on a handshake and stuff doesn't mean everyone else will be, is like my lesson. But basically,
the lesson is everything in writing. Okay, clear in writing.
Everything in writing is, and then that's why, I hope at least someone takes away from my experience because, you know, I 13 years ago I did a deal with my brother where we bought a house. You know, I thought we were on a handshake deal that, you know, yes, he put down the down payment when I didn't. But the deal was that he was going to get the tax write-off benefits and, you know, we'll just split everything 50-50, right? Which, you know, he just gave me the number and that's the check I wrote for 13 years. And, like, you know, slowly it became from our house to the verbiage to, like, my mom's like, I think he thinks it's really his house. But, like, I know you guys did it, unfortunately, we get to the point now where my parents don't really want to step in, which I understand. They don't want to pick and choose between siblings. But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't have did what I did, you know, just to, like, help him out as an investment, you know. So now that we're
trying
to divvy things up, he's got married. The wife is now involved and, you know, all that.
It's a mess.
You know, So, you know, it is a blessing in disguise. Like, I know, like, you know, freedom is down the path, but, I mean, now I'm just trying to, like, I'm trying not to get screwed over where I feel like my brother's going to be, you know, I talked to him, like, a month or two ago. You know, even though I live with him, you know, he's afraid to touch the subject just as much as I am because, like, until I have, like, that's something definitive, I don't really know what I'm dealing with.
Go ahead, of course.
But I'm trying to get all my, everything lined up and talking to, you know, people that could give me some advice. So this is, including yourself.
Right. Basically,
so
your grandfather,
like,
on the other side is making sure things go the well as they could. And, you know, remember when I spoke to you, when I had no idea that your grandfather had fallings out with his siblings, okay? Remember, but I was saying that he was very concerned about the situation. And now you understand a little more why a good person like your grandpa didn't talk to certain siblings, okay? And, you know, when it comes to money, you know, it always has to be in writing for everyone. No handshake deals ever. And you're going to be okay, but you do need, like, when you're involved with this, unfortunately, you do have to get, you know, consult with lawyers. You're doing all the things you need to do. It looks like you'll get pretty, you know, you won't get exactly what you should get, but you'll turn out okay with the situation. Okay, like your grandpa said, but I don't even want to tell you the outcome is good because you got to do what you got to do. Like, it's not going to be good if you don't do what you're doing.
No, it's fine. No, I don't. You know, I just call it because I didn't know if it was like there's beneficial for me to call in or if it was more just a lesson to everybody else that listens to the show because I always learn from everyone else's experiences too. So
yeah, let's make sure that you know, don't assume like, you know, this is how it's going to go or, you know, even if let's talk about if you're making a will and, you know, if it's not perfectly clear, someone could,
yep.
you know, not, you know, screw the other people out of it. Everything has to be in writing mm-hmm. and very, very clear with things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do have leverage because, you know, the plan that, you know, you came up with is good.
Yeah.
And it's going to force
yeah.
his hand because they won't be able to sell it without your cooperation. And they do want to sell. Okay. So,
yep.
And I think, like you said, they've got something else already. So they really can't say, well, the hell with it then. We're just going to stay here because I think it's already, you know, they've already
right.
got money in, somewhere else in another house, which is
exactly
which your grandpa said, I made sure they're doing this because they're going to lose a ton of money if they back out of that deal. Do you know what I mean? So
right.
it looks like all your ducks are in a row. And what you did notice was they didn't want you to know about this because they didn't want you to do the things you're doing now. So you got a pretty
mm-hmm.
big heads up that the universe started warning you a few months ago, gave you a little time to see writing on the wall. And,
right.
you know, and you did begin to write from that moment, do your steps. So again, this is for you, Andrew, and for anyone in business. You know, you're now going to do another new business, which looks good. And we just have mm-hmm. to make sure we have all our dots, you know, our I's dotted and everything done properly. Like, it's just not enough to do a handshake or just assume it's all there in writing. You have to read it carefully to make sure it says what it's supposed mm-hmm. to say. There's no loopholes in anything, you know, things like that. So it's a bigger lesson for you and your business in the future, too, okay, as you make more money.
I do feel that, like, because now that I'm doing this deal, I'm like, all right, what do I put, you know, and I read the contract and, you know, make sure that everything in there that I want in there, you know.
Right, and not,
you know,
and not assuming. It's even when people get a job, it's not enough that they say to you, if you stay 3 months, you'll get a raise, you'll get your health insurance. If it's not in writing, you're not getting it. Do you know what I mean? They're telling you what you want till you get the job, and then you're there.
Mm-hmm.
These are things. Make sure that things that you really want are in writing. And even that's for Nicole to make sure with Lisa that everything's in writing for her deal, you know, so that
mm-hmm.
it's not just like, yeah, we're going to do this a year from now or 2 years from now, like because they say they're going to do it. You know, it has to be in writing. And even in court, it has to be in writing to win. If it's in writing, you can win a court case. If it's not in writing, you're never going to win. You know, that's something
right.
that, you know, kind of fundamentally for people to understand. So, you know, I think it's really good. And remember, it's not that people are stupid. It's not that you were stupid. We were trusting. And that's part of brainwashing from organized religion to make us give everyone the benefit of the doubt and to trust them. And those are some of the organized religion laws that were written by unfixable human beings that want to screw us over. So it's just being wiser and smarter, not being jaded, but, you know, and I love the way you gave the analogy in the email to me yesterday that it feels like a divorce. Yeah, divorce is about the house, who gets the house, who gets the money. And it
mm-hmm.
can get really ugly. And, you know, you're lucky you've never experienced a divorce, but I think God wanted you to have a little bit of the feelings so that you have a little more compassion if you meet someone who's been through a divorce or how sometimes they may be
yeah.
bitter still or may still have, you know, a lot of resentment or anxiety about it. You know, I always tell people ultimately with a divorce, you buy your freedom. It's the best money you'll ever spend, you know, but
yeah.
the point is with you, you kind of have that feeling and it's not pleasant. It's really not. It's really an unpleasant
no,
feeling.
No, it's not fun. And the hardest thing is, like, you know, the last people you think would betray you would be your family, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, Jesus said your enemies in your household, okay? Like, Sometimes you got to look, you have to see. And also, so what your dad wants is to get that your parents don't end up being in the middle of this. That's why your grandpa's trying to work it out so that they don't have to be in the middle of it. Like, you know, you take care of it. Your grandpa helps take care of it, you know, so that, and, you know, believe me, your parents do know this is not kosher, okay? They know it's not good.
Yeah.
They're not happy about it, okay? And again, and, you know, the thing that we live in constant fear, Americans, is that our children won't talk to us. Is that something that, you know, I make probably most of my money here on parents coming that were very good parents that have kids that don't talk to them. And so it's, you know, they're afraid that your brother will never talk to them, and if he has grandkids, they'll never see their grandkids. You see, all of this is what's making them afraid, okay?
No, I know they don't want to get involved. That's why when I went to them, I had to talk privately with them. We kind of, you know, I asked them if they had any ideas, and then I gave three suggestions, you know, and I gave, let them, you know, choose.
And they will do your suggestions, by the way. So
I know they're on
point,
board because I know they don't want to choose. So.
Right. And remember, you know, a lot of parents end up not seeing their grandchildren over situations like this. Do you know what I mean? And they don't want to ever be put in that position. So, you know, everything actually looks good here as long as you keep doing what you're going to be doing. And, you know, they look like they have a, you know, they almost have a closing date on the other house or want to. So they can't really fiddle faddle too much.
Yep.
Well, they'll be paying for two houses for a while.
Yeah. And I did, you know, I talked to the attorney today about what I did. And, you know, he's like, well, maybe you have a case this. You could kind of like tie them up, you know. And I was like, well, that's probably all I really want, make them negotiate. The question was the cost versus what was the other idea? I don't remember what the other thing was, but
put a lien on things and things like that.
It was doing that, or that was the second thing, and the other thing, I can't remember now, but yeah, and just, you know, just trying to, or, you know, just saying, you know, I have a couple plans, so it's like, all right, maybe this weekend or next week, I'll sit with my brother, like, so what's your plan? Like, if the number's kind of close, I know I'll get the rest, you know, go with my plan, you know, but I don't want to walk out and be like, that's it. Because, you know, I essentially paid half, so.
Wow. And so I think everything looks good. And so keep just keeping the faith. Uh-huh. Remember that your expression, keep the faith?
Yep.
You know, not in your brother, but in the universe and in your own ability to make this work and in your grandpa's ability to help you.
Yeah, no, I trust in him, and I trust, you know, everybody else up in spirit, you know, my Aunt Jackie, everybody, you know, usually kind of chimes in to push it around.
Everybody's got your back. So, you know, thanks for sharing your story with us tonight. That was great.
All right.
Bye
thanks.
For now.
Thanks for time. Bye.
Okay, now it looks like Debbie didn't want to talk. Is that what she said in the earlier? But she pressed 1, so I'm not sure.
I don't know. She pressed 1, and then I got the text message, but I didn't queue anybody up because I thought that Debbie Tony was going to be next. So I guess we can just toss her on, and I'll jump into the chat room.
Okie dokie. All right, so let's pick up Debbie.
Sound like a plan to you? All right, let me see here. All right. Hello, Debbie.
You know, I said I didn't need to talk because, you know, when I do call in, you put me on. I'm like, well, tonight, you know, I'm just going to listen. And you put me on. So,
okay, well, we just wanted to make sure. So, so tell us, you're in the pool right now?
I didn't make it there because, I had quite a few things to do tonight. So I'm supposed to look at the concert at 8 o'clock, and I don't know if it's interactive or if I was just watching it. So I decided to wait and stay on my computer.
Okay. Well, it's funny because we just want to make sure you're all okay in Florida. And, you got to hear from, a few different people who are, you know, different sides of the spectrum with our little listeners today. So, Anyway, I'm going to see if Nicole is going to get somebody else on. I don't know if she's screened anybody or she's, you know, just talking to them still.
No, I dreamt of my dad, and behind him was Joe B., someone I never talked to about. And Joe B. was my dad's buddy. And actually, I did talk to him, and I thought it was very unusual that he came in the dream with Darling, me and my dad, and Joe B. So that was something I did want to tell you.
Well, that sounds like an astral travel. Did you get any messages from them? Did they say anything?
It felt really real. I felt like I forgot I never met Parker before, and I felt like we were at our old place hanging out like we do every week in the village of New York City, and I turned around to the right, and there was my dad, and Joby was standing behind him, and I felt like they're just reminding me that they're both supporting me and also Parker. Because she needs a lot of support right now with that RA and everything. So, yeah, I did feel like it was a very strong message, like, we got your back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's for sure. So just know that's interesting because your dreams are getting more, you know, a little deeper than they've been in the past. So that's interesting for
and,
sure.
And I definitely think that's astral travel because fact that it felt so real and vivid, and people say you don't dream in color. I dream in color. The bar was brown. I mean, like, it wasn't, it was red. It was tints of red in there. I mean, like, my father had a blue shirt on. I mean, why do they say people don't dream in color? I don't know, but there was no black and white. It was like being there.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Well, Nicole, did you screen anybody, or were we going to talk to anybody?
Yes, we are. I actually have a first-time caller ready to get on the air tonight.
Okay, Debbie, you enjoy your day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So, Cindy, next we have Donna from Long Island. And Donna has had a reading with you before, but this is her first time calling into our show. All right. So basically last September you had given her some advice, and now she's looking for a little bit of a follow-up. And I love this question, Cindy. She wants a little bit of help with karmically ending a relationship with a transitional soulmate. Does that not sound like somebody who's familiar with you and what you teach?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And it's so funny because I was thinking of her today because she brings this pizza crumb cake to us. And today in Newsday was the North Port Bakery that makes the pizza crumb cake that I never heard of before. So I said, oh, the next time I see Don, I got to mention that it was a news day. Now, that was a news day today, and she calls in today.
Wow, that's funny.
How is that for something, right?
So, that is definitely something. So here we go to our not new client, but our first-time caller, Donna. Hello, Donna. You are on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you? It's so funny
I'm not making it up. You could look it up in Newsday today. They had this
That's
whole thing about
crazy.
And I've never heard of that pizza crumb until you, okay? And I've never had it except when you brought it. So I said, and I thought, huh, I wonder how Donna's doing. Like, that was kind of my thought. So when she said Donna, I'm like, oh, no. Okie dokie.
See how that wasn't a sign.
Can you see how connected people are? It's amazing, the connection, you know. And remember, that's how you get signs. So, you know, even after people cross over, if they were the ones that brought you, like, a certain pizza or something they like to eat, that would be a message, you know. So we get messages on Earth the same way as we get them in spirit. So anyway, you're still friends with this sort of transition soulmate? Now you haven't let go of that friendship yet?
Well, I did. I did take your advice, and I took my 2 feet out and for a couple of months. And I told you our paths crossed, and they crossed again on February 5th. And I need to figure out how to karmically end this relationship because I had more than my 2 feet in, so it's like I need help. Well, he
said
again,
all the right things. I missed you.
Did you ask him what he wants? What do you want? Because, you know, if you have romantic feelings for someone the way you have for him, you really can't be friends. There's two different ladders of love. So,
right.
You know, what does he want? Does he just want friendship? What does he
yes.
want? Because,
yes.
But how are you supposed to be friends with him when you wanted more? It's a little awkward for you, isn't it?
Very, very.
So it's
very.
Almost like, you know, again, if you're just going to be friends with him, you're still going to have those feelings, and it's probably going to keep you from moving on. You might, you know, when you have a friend that you really want to be your lover and you see them enough or talk to them enough, it gives you like an illusion of having a relationship without being one, and it can actually keep you from seeking the soulmate that you're supposed to be with. You know, that's the problem with this. So, does he want to see you? Has he made plans to see you outside of when you run into him?
He has seen me maybe 5 times since that February 5th workshop that we were at together. And
you've seen each other like going out
yes.
5 times?
Yes, yes.
You know, seeing someone 5 times since February 5th, you said?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like I don't see my friends every week, you know, like seeing them every week. It seems a little bit much. And have you crossed the line at all, kissing, touching, anything?
Yes, yes, yes.
So how is this a friend? Is this a friend with
I
benefits?
Don't know.
Is that what he wants? Because
no,
if you want a
no,
soulmate,
no, no.
He wants a friend, you know, like – it's mixed messages here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
very mixed. Very mixed messages. Very. You know, he's hot and cold. He's in it. He's out. You know, so I actually made him listen to your reading because he comes up in the reading.
Right.
And
exactly.
he says that he, you know, he can't put his 2 feet in. And
then
is it
then the only solution is 2 feet out? Otherwise, you're going to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Mixed messages, which commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do this dance. So that, you know, sometimes when you get very close to someone who, you know, doesn't really or has fierce commitments of commitment, then they run away for a while, they ghost, they disappear, you know. If you can, you know, the problem is if you could handle the way it is and you're getting enough satisfaction from this, it's fine. The problem is if you can't, you know, can you handle this the way it is or can't you? It's up to
right
you.
Right now I can because I'm having lots of fun. I mean, you know who he is. He's wonderful. Yes.
So if
you
can, okay, if you know, he's a great man. If you can get out of expectations from this, if you could just enjoy it for the now, for the joy therapy that it is, the relationship therapy that it is, seeing him and enjoying him when you're together, but not planning more than that, taking it one day at a time. Could you do
right.
that?
I can. Right
good.
Now. right now. Right,
right.
now.
And then, you know, but just don't expect more from him.
Yes. Right.
Because,
I
you know, he may come, he may finally relax into it. He may not.
Right.
Again, even when you guys sort of ended it, the last time, it wasn't really ended. That's the problem. There wasn't any real closure there.
Right.
You know?
And that's
people moving on.
Right, right.
But if you can just take it one day at a time, first of all, you're older now. It's not like you got a biological clock ticking. You want babies, okay?
Right.
It's not like,
right,
it's not
right.
like you got to have like, if you could just enjoy it for what it is and don't, you know, the problem with humans is we always have to know, is this forever? Is this for not? The older I get, the more I'm learning to live just today. I don't even look back very much anymore. When I start to look back, I don't anymore. It's not that I'm in denial. I have walked the bloody alleyways of my heart and soul so long that there's nothing to be gained. I've learned the lessons I'm supposed to learn, and looking back is only going to break my heart. So
right.
I look back anymore on things that have broken my heart, because it will break my heart again. It's not that
right.
I'm not healed from them, but I don't need to go back. I don't dread forward. What if this happens? What if that doesn't happen? I live today. If it's a good day, there's no bombs going off, or there's the sun, there's no hurricanes going on, I'm happy. So maybe
okay.
this is a little lesson in, at your age, my age, one day at a time. Is it a good day?
Okay.
Are you enjoying it? If
yes.
2 weeks from now it ceases to be no longer fun for you, this is bothering you, the mixed messages, I can't take it, well, then you
right.
examine that 2 weeks from now. But if today you're happy,
right.
that's good.
Yes.
That's good. That's
okay.
good. And I hear it in your voice that you're having. He's such a good man. Now, maybe, you know, no pressure and time goes on. Who knows where it could go? But the point is, if it's giving you joy therapy and relationship therapy and you're happy
yes.
today,
yes.
then just live for today and enjoy it.
Wow.
Okay?
Oh,
that comes
wow.
with time. We earn this when we're old, okay? We earn the right to enjoy the days that are left, okay?
I am enjoying it, but I felt like I should have some guilt that I should comically end this so that, you know,
why?
To make room for what's coming. I don't know,
Donna.
Because...
Again, right
no.
now, you guys, Nicole, you chirping. Chirp.
Yeah, no, I'm chirping. No. First of all, here's the thing.
Okay.
If you're okay, here's the bottom line. If you are okay with the terms as they are, and you're not
yes.
trying to convince yourself that you're okay with those terms, then have fun and enjoy
yes.
it. But here's the
yes.
problem is that sometimes when we want something or we want someone in particular, we say, well, you know what, if this is all they can give, I'm willing to take this. But in the back of
yes.
your mind, you're still hoping to change that person. So as long as you don't have that in the back of your mind, as long as this is okay with you and you're not saying, well, you know what, I'm going to make him change his mind or he's going to be a different person if I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say yes to this now, he'll say yes to me later. You have to let go of all of those preconceived notions, you know, and
you're
if
right.
it grows,
yes.
allow it to grow. But if you're lying
wow.
to yourself and trying to convince yourself that, yes, I'm okay with the relationship with the, under these terms, and you're really not, then you're asking for some heartache. Because you have to believe when you're dealing with somebody who's noncommittal, you have to
yes.
believe them at their word that they don't want to commit. If he's telling
yes.
you he cannot
he
put
is.
2 feet in, believe
yes.
him. Don't
I
think,
do.
Oh, maybe he's saying it but doesn't mean it and I can change his mind. No, believe him when he says it and then be honest with yourself. And if you're okay
right.
at this juncture of your life, just having some fun because he's a great guy and you have fun together and he makes you feel special and he puts a smile on your
yes.
face and he puts
yes,
that little extra
does.
Zhuzh in your voice and that's good for you, then take
yes.
it.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Wow.
Right. And can you see how smart she is? Can you see how much she's learned in all these
wow.
years of doing the studio show? And
yes.
again, you're the only one who knows the answer, okay?
Yes.
But again,
yes.
if you're not sure on things, I tell people, well, don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't end something that you're not sure you want to end
mm-hmm.
yet. Then you're going to be crying for weeks, and you're going to have to
yeah.
look for other joy therapies. If you're just enjoying
yep.
it again, time will tell. Again, that's another thing. Why we can live for today is because today turns into tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And time, if we let her do her thing, reveals all without overthinking it, by the way.
Right.
So just let time do her thing and let's see
mm-hmm.
how it goes.
Yes.
But if each day
and
you
just
feel
be
good,
honest
you feel
with yourself.
Okay. Right.
You know, don't
right.
feel guilt over it because you're a consenting adult. You don't have to feel guilt. You're not breaking up somebody else's marriage or somebody else's relationship.
Right.
You just have some fun. You're having
right.
some fun with
I
a good
am.
Person. You know, with a nice person. But just be honest
yes.
with yourself.
Are you still
you know,
there?
As long as you're honest with you.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, did we lose everybody?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Hello,
nope,
did we lose
she's
everybody?
Here.
I'm
uh-oh.
Here. I'm here.
Cindy.
Hello.
Okay, Cindy can't hear us.
Hello.
But
okay, Nicole, I'm with you.
Well, we are at the end of our show, so.
Okay, she's ending the show and she can't
so
hear me.
Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. But just, like I said, just be honest with yourself. Don't try to convince yourself of anything. You know,